Good morning. My name is Lauren Taylor, and there is a whole group of you out there that I don't know yet. Where are my freshies? If you're a freshman, raise your hand. What's up? Hi. My name is Lauren. I am a chaplain here in campus ministry. And I haven't been around this school year so far because I had a baby at the end of August. Mr. Theodore Taylor. So I brought a couple pictures to show. And Theo and my husband Derek are here this morning. So if you want to meet him, feel free. So having a baby was pretty exciting. But the other exciting thing that happened to me in my life recently involves a goat and the city of Chicago and a trophy that was 108 years in the making. I am a lifelong Chicago Cubs fan. And so when the Cubs were in the World Series last week, it was a big deal for me. And it was a big deal for a lot of other people, too. I know I talked to some of you guys and heard about your watching parties in apartments and cottages. And I heard you complaining about the half-hearted baseball fan who was there more to talk than to watch, or worse, root for the Indians rather than the Cubs. I heard from some of you that you needed to go back to Chicago that weekend because you needed to watch the game with your family on TV. But with your family. And I get that, right? I needed to go back to Chicago that weekend too. I needed to be near Wrigley Field in this World Series season. Not because I had tickets to any of the games, but I just wanted to be near the stadium with other Cub fans. I wanted to be with my people. I wanted to be with the crowd there. You know what I'm talking about? And it was quite a crowd. Before the games, during the games, after the games, Wrigley Field was nuts. But after the Cubs won the World Series, can't believe I'm saying that sentence out loud. After the Cubs won the World Series, after 108 years of not winning, Chicago, the city of Chicago, held a victory parade for the Cubs players and their fans that matched no other. The crowd that showed up for that parade was phenomenal. There were 5 million people that flooded the streets of Chicago to watch, to maybe just get a glimpse of some of these players. So I brought some pictures. You can see 5 million people where the parade started, all along the route, where the parade finished, flooded to catch just a glimpse of some of these players and to hear what they had to say. So put a pin in that for a minute. Keep this image of crowd in mind as I open up scripture and read to you this morning from Matthew chapter 20. So if you want to turn in your Bibles or on your phones or whatever, Matthew chapter 20, verses 29 to 34. As they were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him, meaning Jesus. There were two blind men sitting by the roadside. When they heard that Jesus was passing by, they shouted, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David." The crowd sternly ordered them to be quiet. But they shouted even more loudly, "Have mercy on us, Lord, Son of David!" Jesus stood still and called to them, saying, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Lord, let our eyes be opened." And so, moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes, and immediately they regained their sight and followed him. This is the word of the Lord. And so you've got Jesus and his disciples and a large crowd. Maybe not 5 million large, but it was a big group of people that all wanted to be following Jesus. And The crowd is walking with Jesus on this road from Jericho to Jerusalem, and when these two blind men call out to Jesus for healing, the scripture says the crowds sternly ordered them to be quiet. The crowds sternly ordered them to be quiet. Now, this is interesting to me. This is the interesting part of the story to me. Why did the crowds order these men to be quiet? What's going on there? So let's look for a minute at the crowd. Now, the crowds are an important character in the book of Matthew. Have you noticed that? They show up a lot. You've got Jesus, you've got the disciples who are totally all in, and then you've got the crowds, and they think Jesus is cool. They want to follow him. They want to know more about him. Maybe there's some half-hearted people in there, but regardless, they're following Jesus. They're doing the following. They're walking on the road with him, his groupies, if you will. And so, using my sanctified imagination, I wonder if they probably had the same mindset as maybe some of those 5 million people in Chicago did last weekend, right? I just want to be there. I just want to be around him to see what he looks like, to hear what he has to say, to be there if anything spectacular happens. Maybe like the 5 million last week were thinking, I just want that experience. And so the crowd walks on, and their eyes are fixed on Jesus. They're watching him carefully. They're eager and they're anxious. And there might have even been some jostling among them for the spots that were closest to Jesus on the road. And so when some of the crowd bumps into or maybe even trips over these blind men who are stationed on that side of the road begging, and when they stop, these blind men stop begging for money and start begging for Jesus' attention, Jesus, look at me. Jesus, I've got something to say to you. I could sort of understand then why the crowd might want to silence them. You're getting in the way of my Jesus experience, the crowd might have said. Like someone who staked out a spot on the parade route the night before, they're protective over their position. I need to hear what Jesus has to say. So don't get in the way of that. Stop. Shh. Be quiet. Isn't that funny how in a crowd it becomes so easy, when we're in a crowd, it becomes so easy to turn your eyes inward and to focus on yourself and your own needs? I've run the Chicago Marathon a couple times, and the start of that race is crazy. There's 30,000 people all packed into these streets around Chicago, and I can remember weaving my way through the crowd in the first couple miles, trying to get a good pace, trying to make my way through, and I just remember feeling so mad at the people that were running in front of me so slowly. I was so frustrated. I didn't think about who they were or what their story was or how they were feeling that morning. All I thought about was, you are running slow and you're getting in my way. So I pushed my way through the crowd to make sure that I got the position that I wanted. Don't get in the way of my experience, of what I need to get out of this race. Have you ever been in a crowd like that where you've sort of felt that selfish impulse kind of bubble up? So, my question, how does Jesus respond to this situation? How does Jesus respond to the crowd and to these blind men? Jesus stood still. Well, the crowd was busy being a crowd and hustling and pushing and jostling and talking and fighting and straining and being anxious. Jesus, scripture says, stood still. And I think we're meant to see this stark contrast here. Jesus stood still and called out to these men, "What do you need? How can I help you? Let me hear what you have to say." Jesus is different from the crowd here. He looks outward. He seeks to help those and to offer healing. And so in the end, they might also follow him. And so that's how this story ends. Jesus heals these men of their blindness, restores their sight, and they get up and they follow him. A physical and a spiritual healing together, a glimpse of the kingdom of God. It's pretty easy to get sucked into the crowd, isn't it? To be so focused on me and Jesus that you forget to look up and outward. To be so focused on figuring yourself out that you forget that there are actually others also around you. To be so anxious to hear from God that you don't hear others crying out around you. Jesus gives us a different example and calls us to live differently. His eyes are not only inward, but they are also outward, seeking to serve other people, even looking at the margins. And so in that, Jesus invites all of us to stop, to stand still, and to look around us, to serve those who are crying out. So if you're sitting here this morning in the crowd out here, and you feel burdened by all sorts of big life questions about your future or doubts or about a relationship or about your past, if you feel anxious to hear from God about something, let this passage encourage you to stop jostling for a position and to stand still and to lift your gaze so that you're not only looking inward, but that you're also looking outward. And just see what God does with that. Amen? Amen. Go in peace.